Welcome to the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast. Ministry Central is the official United Pentecostal Church International online resource designed to develop and enhance your ministry. Through the teaching and wisdom of experienced apostolic leaders, Ministry Central will equip you to pursue the call of God on your life. In this podcast, you will learn important principles, concepts, and ideas from apostolic leaders who are on the front lines of ministry, making a difference in their leadership and calling. I'm your host, Darren Sargent, and this is the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast. Thanks for joining. I want to welcome you to the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast. My name is Darren Sargent. I'm the director of Ministry Central here for the United Pentecostal Church International, and it is one of my highest honors to have my former district superintendent. As many of you know, we spent 20 plus years in SoCal. Brother Art Hodges is a very influential voice in my life, my family's life, and it's just an honor to have you, Bishop. Thank you for taking time. I know you're busy.
Glad you're
here. And today we're just going to talk about something that I think is important when it comes to the concept of leadership, and that is leading through a crisis. And over the last couple of years, we have faced some intense crisis and leadership challenges when it comes to the church and the body of Christ. And as many of you are aware, Brother Hodges, you have been on the forefront of a lot of this, especially in California. We were there during the pandemic in 2020. I don't know if I can mention our governor's name, so I won't, but it was a challenge on a consistent basis, in, out, up, down, quite a couple of years. And you were on the forefront of that. And so I wanted to just take some time today and have you talk about leading through a pandemic, leading through a crisis. Maybe tell us a little bit of the story, how it unfolded. Many people have seen a lot of the social media highlights, some of the news clips, Fox. You've been on Fox, CNN,
right?
You've been on several, and you can talk about that, but I'm going to turn you loose.
Okay.
Thank you again. It's always a joy to be with you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Brother Darren Sargent, and thank you for what you're doing.
Appreciate it.
Is such a blessing to the UPCI Ministry Central and a focus now on leadership, spiritual leadership. And we're glad to be here today.
Thank you.
Glad to be at this great general conference.
It's been a phenomenal
general conference. Every preacher, every session,
it's been amazing.
Business, everything's been great. So we'll start with, I guess, the crises of 2020, the COVID crises. Most people will forever remember 2020 as the year of COVID. I will forever remember 2020 as the year of court. I was in court.
the year of court.
2020, more than most people are in their lifetimes.
Instead of a kangaroo court, we'll call it a COVID court.
So we literally had 11 federal court rulings in less than 1 year. So that's how much we were in court. So we had four rulings at the federal district court. We had four rulings at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We had three rulings at the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm told by our attorneys that that's historic. That's never happened in America. A single case has had three rulings in less than 1 year at the U.S. Supreme Court. It all began in May of 2020. Obviously, COVID was introduced around January 2020. America kind of shut down March 15, 2020. And California and our governor, I will mention his name, Gavin Newsom. I'm praying for Gavin Newsom. I'm praying that I really am praying that he may well be the 21st century version of Saul of Tarsus, who is carrying out threats and havoc, wreaking havoc amongst the churches. Became the greatest missionary apostle of all time. Why not in the 21st century, before the coming of the Lord, have a Gavin Newsom become a United Pentecostal Church missionary, preacher, ambassador? Who knows? So pray with me on that one. In fact, I told one of our senators here recently, I said, listen, I told her that. I said, listen, I'm praying for Gavin Newsom. I would love to hear him repent of his sins. I would love to be the one to baptize him in water in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ. although I confess I would probably be tempted to hold them under the water just a little longer than normal, but not
just
too long,
a little longer,
so I could bring him up and he still has breath to receive the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. Okay.
I love it.
So yes, we really were living under a great threat to the church. Mm-hmm. So it was on May 8, 2020, when Governor Gavin Newsom had a public press conference televised live, announcing that California, by this time next week, 70% of California will be up and operating again, but he left churches out of the equation.
Yep.
And so following that press conference, we filed our lawsuit. Now, I'll just say this also, because I think it's interesting, and I think I need to say it so people don't misunderstand how I became involved with this. I didn't wake up one morning and say, you know, I think I'm bored. I'll just sue the governor of the largest state in America.
Yeah, I don't think you have a boring day, Brother Hodges.
and I certainly, as some may think, but it's not true, wasn't seeking any publicity or anything of the sort. I mean, we, when it comes to legal affairs and media, the church, we generally try to fly below the radar. We're not trying to attract attention. I mean, who in their right mind would want to attract the attention of every governing agency, from public health and safety to your county government, mm-hmm. to your city, to your state? Who would do that?
Yeah.
That's not how it came about. So I sit on a national board. The chairman of the board is attorney Matt Staver, called Salt and Light Council. I've served on their board since 2017. And the president of Salt and Light Council contacted me and said that there is a group of attorneys. It's actually three law firms, a law firm in San Diego called LeMandry and Jonah. And their claim to fame is they handled the longest running case in federal court in the history of the U.S., 26 years.
Wow.
And it was a dispute over something you're familiar with, a cross on the top of the tallest mountain in San Diego on the coast, Mount Soledad.
Yep.
And groups protesting that as a religious symbol on government property,
et cetera. See it from my church property that we pastored there.
There you go. Yeah. And so they handled that case. They won that case after 26 years. So it was that group. It was Harmeet Dillon's law group in San Francisco. She's on Fox News frequently. And it was the Thomas More Society legal group in Chicago, Illinois. They're the largest legal entity of the Roman Catholic Church, serving mostly the Roman Catholic Church. So this is a consortium of attorneys, and they, very credible attorneys, and they were forming a consortium of religious leaders, a Catholic bishop, a Mormon bishop, a Jewish rabbinical leader over 14 Shabbats, and an evangelical bishop. They contacted Salt and Light Council, which is a nationwide group, give them a recommendation. They wanted an evangelical bishop. The president of Salt Light said, well, you need Bishop Art Hodges. That's who you need.
Yes.
So that's how I became involved in this.
Okay.
We worked for weeks on briefs. And when it came time to file May 8, following Newsom's press conference, where he left churches out of the reopen plan, the Catholic bishop bailed, the Mormon bishop bailed, it left me and the Jew. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, God, maybe this is your plan. I mean, the two oneness believers in the Godhead.
Yes.
And so I felt a little satisfaction in that until the next day I get a call from our lead attorney, and he said, I've got bad news. He says, we've lost our Jewish rabbinical leader, and now we're down to one. Are you okay going this alone? I said, well, I don't know. Are you okay with me going this alone? He said, we only need one to win. We think you're the guy. I said, well, then let's do this thing.
Let's do it.
But I want to tell that backstory because it wasn't that I'm looking for being in court or lawsuits or anything like that. But looking back on it, it's obvious that was God's plan.
Absolutely.
Because God has used this not only, thankfully, to get some great wins. Now, that came at great sacrifice, and that came after 9 losses over 9 months before we finally got a win, but also the many more doors that's opened, and especially to open the doors for the United Pentecostal Church International to be known in circles where it's never been known before. Many different circles, from legal circles to educational circles to health circles, etc. And the Lord used that. Now, at the very beginning, when we were considering saying yes to this request, that took me 3 days to give them an answer. Yes, I would join this lawsuit. Of course, I consulting with our general superintendent, David Bernard, at the time, Assistant General Superintendent Paul Mooney, my own district board, my own church.
I was on that board.
Part of that. I made that consult before I made that decision. But what I promised and pledged is, I will not make this about the United Pentecostal Church International. I'm not representing them in this matter. I'm representing me personally and our local church. I did that to try to protect the United Pentecostal Church. I don't want to be presumptuous. I'm the spokesman. I'm not the spokesman. Yeah. Although obviously I am part of the United Pentecostal Church. The problem is that when you file legal documents, they're going to file your legal names and your legal corporate names. And the legal corporate name of the church I pastor is South Bay United Pentecostal Church. So it was kind of hard to completely hide that.
Yeah.
Though we were not postulating that, it's in the court docs. And so when the media picks up on it, they make the link. So obviously United Pentecostal Church did become linked to this. But to God be the glory, we did ultimately win those final two Supreme Court victories.
What were, during that process, and I'm aware of some of it, but what were the threats that came against you and your church in particular when you took this stand?
We don't like to talk about that much, but I will share this, and I won't divulge everything.
Yeah, that's fine.
But there were threats. I can say this publicly. Our church has been vandalized 15 times as a result of taking a stand and speaking out. We've received numerous, even personal threats, even death threats, some which were deemed credible, and I won't go into the details on those, but it would almost be unbelievable if I told you.
Sounds
some of
like
the things
a Book of Acts
happened.
Story.
It kind of is. I guess it kind of is. But here's what I would say about that. I remember years ago, that just brought to mind, years ago, I was going through a very, very difficult trial, and I got a personal call, which I so appreciated, actually from Brother Anthony Mangan. And I mean, we don't converse frequently, but I received a call at the appropriate time. And this is what he told me. He said, Art, he said, let me tell you something. He said, I've been praying for you. You've been on my heart. He said, but I just want to give you a word. He said, the tallest trees catch the most wind.
My.
And I thought of that. Wow. I mean, I'm not trying to be a tall tree. I don't even want to be a tall tree.
Yeah.
But it's true. When you stand up, you're going to catch some opposition.
Sure.
But here's something positive I've learned through this whole process,
good,
the last few
good,
years.
Share it.
And that is, when you stand, especially when others are not, it amplifies your voice.
Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
It's amazing.
Look at the influence that came from that one moment.
And so we have been invited into arenas, professional arenas, religious arenas, that, as far as I know, any Oneness Apostolic preacher, United Pentecostal International preacher, has never been invited to before. Doors have opened that are just astounding.
Yeah.
It's not about me personally. It's not about our church personally. It's about the gospel. It's about what we represent, that we're representing Christ. We're representing the apostolic doctrine and experience. You know, I like to say we are apostolic in doctrine, Pentecostal in experience, holiness in lifestyle, evangelistic in mission. And we're the Revelation 3:8 group that the Lord said, I'm going to open doors in these end times that
Amen.
No man can shut.
Amen.
Because you have a little strength. That means you don't got to be Superman. You don't have to be the top of your class. You just got to stay in the fight. Just don't quit. Don't give up.
Keep going.
Just stay in the fight. You've got a little strength. You've kept the faith, and you've not denied my name. And Jesus said, for that church, that's the one he built on the rock. He said, for that church, the gates of hell won't prevail against you. And I'm going to open doors no man can shut. And he has.
Well, and the doors that this crisis presented and opened before you to speak into places that you don't get that type of influence just sitting down and doing nothing.
Correct.
And that's the one thing I think, being there during a lot of that, watching you walk through those doors, and it seemed to me like there was one door after another door after another door after another door, to where now you're speaking in the lives of candidates, you're speaking in the lives of senators, congressmen, congresswomen. So talk to us a little bit about, was there a little bit of trepidation stepping into this arena? I know you said, you know, it come to me, wasn't expecting it, but work us through for just a minute, because I think this all pertains to leading through a crisis. How did you handle, okay, I'm district superintendent.
Right.
I'm pastor of a local church. Mm-hmm. Got my hands in a lot of pots. How do I make this leap and not let it affect everything else I've got going?
Yeah, that's a really, really important question. And I would say that I approach it the same way I try to approach everything in life. And that is, number one, it's not about me. It's not about me.
It's good.
You know, John was the forerunner of Christ. He was very clear. I'm not the light.
Yeah.
I'm just announcing the light. Okay. Yeah. Introducing you to the light. And I must decrease and he must increase. Almost every time that I step to a pulpit to preach or teach or speak, I'll ask the audience, I'll usually say, let's give Jesus the loudest hand praise you've given all week long. And when they're praising, I also praise. But while we're doing that, I'm praying a little prayer in my mind. And I'm saying, God, this is not about me. It's about you. I need you to take control and just speak to me and use me. Every interview that I did, I approach it the same way. And almost every interview, I finish it, and I'm so disappointed in how I did, because my ultimate goal in every interview, every speech, whatever it is to get the message in there, get the God. I want to get Acts 2:38 in there. Okay. You made note when we sat down. Here's my Starbucks cup I picked up on the way here. Yeah. That's my Starbucks name. It's actually my Starbucks app. Yeah. I could be in an airport. It happened this morning in the hotel Starbucks. They said, Acts 2:38, your order's ready. I got Starbucks. Preach it. That's my ultimate goal right there. So
I love it.
So I try to get it into everything. And if I don't get it into that interview, I'm kicking myself. But the Lord reminds me, now you said before you started, take over and say what needs to be said and don't say. So you got to trust me in that. So I got to learn to do that, trusting God, because I want it all out there front and center every single time. And maybe for some reason, the Lord doesn't want it to be that obvious at that moment in that setting.
Sure.
But that's the ultimate goal. And I think every preacher, every child of God, frankly, we've got to approach life that way. It's not about us. It's about the, you know, when it stopped being about us, when we put ourselves on the altar.
Oh, so good.
When we died, when we repented.
Bishop was preaching last night.
We don't exist any longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now to live is Christ.
Yeah.
We're just waiting until he says, okay, come home for your reward.
Yeah.
Everything else is about him. That's how we've got to approach every part of life.
Good.
It doesn't matter what your title is or positions.
Yeah.
They come and go. You're going to be this today and you're not that tomorrow, what have you.
Sure.
But God will put you here, there. It's just all about him and his kingdom. If he places you there. Now, the other thing is, I've never felt worthy of my calling. I'm like, God, why me? Why you call me? Why you call me to be a minister? I'm going to just mess it up for you, God. You know, why'd you call me to be a pastor? I'm going to mess things up.
That.
Why'd you call me to do super? I'm going to mess up. So that's what I live with. God, help me not to mess up you, your name, your reputation, the UPCI. I don't want to be a spot or a blight in any way. Just remove me if in any way I'm going to be a hindrance to what you're doing. I think we've got to keep that mindset and live that mindset.
Well, I think when we do that, the upward progression, the steps, the platform, if we can keep that attitude that you're talking about, that platform gets higher and higher and higher. And I want to talk about that for just a minute. Now, looking back, we're close to 3 years removed.
Right.
We are over 3 years removed from
the
May 8th, you know, or the COVID year. What do you feel God has brought into your ministry and life now that maybe the crisis wouldn't, if there was no crisis, you would have never stepped into? Am I making sense?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Okay. I want you to talk to that. I think it's
so important. My ministry focus has expanded so far beyond the local church, outside the four walls, into my community, my city, my county, my state. I literally have, for example, I'm in San Diego County. We have currently two that are biblical values, conservative, supervisor in San Diego County, Jim Desmond, Joel Anderson. Both of them have reached out to me multiple times personally, privately, to help them show up at a meeting, speak on a something flying under the radar. We need this to go public. It won't go unless someone speaks. Yeah. Would you do it? I've done it on issues that are especially of moral value.
Sure.
Same thing happening in the state. I now have, we only have a handful, but we've got a few biblical value senators in California reaching out to me personally, regularly, for personal prayer, for help, direction, advice. It's just amazing. These are ministry opportunities. I'm praying with them for them.
That crisis.
It would not have happened without the crisis.
A crisis opened up.
It absolutely did. Absolutely opened the door. Yeah, remember Genesis, the last chapter, the whole Joseph story concludes this way. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. And it wasn't just Joseph's good. It was to save much souls alive.
Yep.
That's what it's not just for our Romans 8:28. I used to think, oh, that's my golden parachute verse. All things work together for the good of them. And then I aligned that with Genesis 50, like, wait a minute. It's not about my good.
That's right.
It's about God's good.
God's good.
It's about saving souls alive. If it takes my life to save other lives, hey, that's worth it. I mean, that's what Jesus exemplified in Calvary, right?
Absolutely. Well, and I think we've seen a, and I, let me put it this way. I hate to use the word activism, but.
Apostolic activism. That's what I spoke at NAYC to the young minister session.
Exactly.
That's the title.
Apostolic activism. Your activism has awakened a lot of us to recognize, you know what? We don't have to be silent.
No, we should not.
We don't have to put up with that.
We
better not be silent, or we're going to be, well, you know, we got this whole deal. And I'll be honest with you. I've heard it majority of my life. Well, we can't mix the church and politics, and we've got to be careful and this and that. But if we're not being vocal and we're not standing, trouble is ahead of us.
That's right. Yeah, if we are silent, we are complicit.
Yep.
In fact, you know, thank you for opening that door. Let me share this. This will be the first time I've shared this anywhere publicly. This just happened at General Conference. I was awake most of the night a couple of nights ago on this very topic, and the Lord has opened something up to me. So this will be the first opportunity to share. What is the greatest commandment of all? To love God, right? With all of our soul, heart, mind, and strength. Jesus said that. And then he said the second is like to itself, to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? Okay, listen. Boy, this is a new revelation for me, all right? Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Where did he get that from? Old Testament.
Yep.
All right? He said the second's like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of people probably think that was a New Testament invention. So he started with the Old Testament. Now he's in the New Testament. Wrong. I looked up the phrase. It comes from the Old Testament. He's quoting also from the Old Testament.
My.
And in the Old Testament, here's what it says. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. But guess what the preceding verse says? The preceding verse says, if you see your neighbor doing sin and you are silent about that and you don't confront him and rebuke him, you will be guilty of the same sin even though you didn't commit it. And the very next verse, so love your neighbor as yourself.
Stolen. I'm taking that.
Unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Unbelievable. We have a duty.
We have a responsibility.
And here's what led me to that. I'm asking myself the same question. God, should we be involved in civic affairs? Should we be involved in civic government? Should we be in the public square speaking out? Really, should we or not? Yeah. And so I'm searching scripture. That's where we got to get our answers from.
Absolutely.
And that's where I came across this. I've never heard us preach that before. Unbelievable. But that's loving your neighbor. It's speaking the truth in love. We cannot be silent. We've got to stand up for righteousness. We got to be light and salt, or we are not doing what we were born again to do.
You know, it's so interesting, and I've spoken about this in some of the other podcasts that I've done in the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast, but you mentioned salt and light. We're called to be salt and light. We are the salt. We are the light.
Yes.
It doesn't say that Acts 2:38 is.
Right.
It says we are, but
that's
we
right.
better be pushing
absolutely
what the word says. If people are attracted to us, and I think this is what I've watched, how you have been able to connect with people in such a way that they know now who we are.
Yes, they do.
They are aware.
Yes.
The United Pentecostal Church is not going down without a fight.
Every Supreme Court justice knows the United Pentecostal Church International.
Yeah.
They know our fundamental doctrines. They know it. Even the previous Ruth Bader Ginsburg was part of the first ruling in our case, which went against us initially, but she knew our doctrines. It's been such a witness. My attorneys told me one day, they said, do you realize, they call me Bishop Art, do you realize, Bishop Art, that every law student in America studying this case, I really hadn't even thought about that. And they said they will for years.
Think about that.
And that excited me because our case is all about our doctrine. It's about, you know, we had to answer the question in the Supreme Court. Why do you need to meet together in a building? What is it that's so important? Baptism, water baptism in the name of Jesus. Can't do that on your own. I mean, it just gave us opportunities,
right? What a platform.
To preach the gospel. It's so awesome.
I live by a statement. I wrote it down when I was 19. You probably heard me say it. You'll never make an impact until you're committed to the collision.
That's right.
And colliding with these forces, if you want to call them that, which I think they are. I think they're spiritual strongholds.
That's exactly what it is.
These are things that we've got to be aware of. It has presented such an impact and an influence that I think is, you couldn't have, without the crisis, without you stepping up to the forefront and others stepping in and saying, we got to do something.
Exactly.
We wouldn't be where we are today.
So I honestly think God wants every single one of our pastors and ministers to step out, step up, be the voice of your city, be the influence of your city. Our churches need to be the strongest influencer for righteousness in our city. And that's where it starts. Doesn't start at the top. It starts at the
bottom.
Grassroots. I may not can change Washington, but could I change my town? I think I can.
Absolutely.
I think we can. I think our church can. Our people
can. God does his best work in that local church.
Amen to that.
We've been hearing it all week. Okay, we're going to wrap it up, but any closing thoughts, remarks, anything that you just, you said, I need to share this, or maybe it was in your brain before we stepped into the studio here.
Well, again,
I'm going to let you close it out.
Pastors, ministers, saints of God, don't fear. You're not representing you, you're representing Christ. Stand up, speak out. We need to pray up like Samuel, or like Daniel. We need to pray up like Daniel. We need to listen up like Samuel. We need to stand up like the three
Hebrew boys,
Hebrew asbestos kids. Yeah. we need to speak up like John the Baptist, and we need to act up like the Book of Acts Church and Apostles.
Act up.
It's apostolic activism. We should be the number one driving force in our city, county, state, nation, and the world.
Bishop, thank you so much. Love and appreciate you. Appreciate your voice in this generation. Means a lot to me. To everyone watching this episode, listening to this episode, thank you for being a part of it. We're going to have to do more of these. And Brother Hodges is in the St. Louis area on occasion, so I'm going to have to grab them so we can do part 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
We'd love to.
All right. God bless everyone. Thanks for being a part of the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast. God bless.
Thank you.
Man, that was awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast. To learn more, visit us at ministrycentral.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please take a moment. Help us by sharing and subscribing to this podcast. May God richly bless you. We will see you on the next episode of the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast.